ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
There have been two knife attacks within just weeks of each other that are being linked to terrorism, one at a church in Sydney and the other outside a Bunnings in Perth on the weekend. Both involved teenage boys. So what's going on? Today, investigative reporter Sean Rubenstein Dunlop on the radicalisation of vulnerable young people and whether programs to stop it are actually working. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. Sean, you've been looking at the background of a Sydney teen who was, of course, accused of a terrorist attack on a bishop at a church last month. And now, of course, we've had this other teen, a boy in Perth, who's been shot dead after stabbing someone at a Bunnings car park in Western Australia.
A teenage boy believed to have been radicalised online has been shot dead by WA police after stabbing a man in the Perth suburb of Willerton.
Now, these two boys, they're not linked, but there are some really eerie similarities, aren't there?
Yeah, look, the similarities between that attack in Sydney and the one in Perth over the weekend are really striking. In both cases, the attacker was a 16-year-old boy. They were both armed with a knife, and they were both radicalised by the kind of violent extremist ideology which is promoted by terrorist groups like Islamic State. Mm. We know they'd both been engaging with that online. The boy in Sydney, the teenager in Sydney, is now facing a terrorism charge, and that could see him jailed for life if found guilty, while the boy in Perth is now dead. But of course, the common factors between them have us asking if we might be seeing the beginning of another wave of violent extremism and terrorism here.
Yeah, I was going to say, because, Sean, I feel like we felt at least, or we hoped, that these sort of attacks were a thing of the past, something that we dealt with, 10 years ago or so. So I think what I really want to do with you is unpack what might be actually going on right now to lead to these sort of events.
It does feel all of a sudden like we've travelled back in time.
Yes.
I spent several years covering and investigating terrorism in Australia from the rise of Islamic State back in 2014 and they fell in around 2019. And it's shocking to me that we're back in a position where juveniles are carrying out attacks like this. But look, going to that incident in Perth, WA police say the emergency started for them around 10 o'clock on Saturday night when a teenager made a 000 call saying he was going to commit an act of extreme violence. Now, not long after, there was a second 000 call from a member of the public reporting that a man had been stabbed in the car park of a Bunnings store. Now, it took 3 minutes for officers to arrive, and in that Bunnings car park, they encountered a 16-year-old boy who they say was armed with a large kitchen knife. So he lunges at police with the knife and he's then shot dead. Fortunately, though, the man who was stabbed in the back survived and he's recovering in hospital.
And Sean, pretty quickly, it was revealed that this teenager had actually been part of a de-radicalisation program. So he was on the radar of authorities. What do we know about his beliefs about who he is?
He was on the radar for a long time. He was a Muslim schoolboy at Rossmoyne Senior High, which is a prestigious public school in Perth South. And there were indications around 2 years ago that the boy was being radicalised online. And so at that point, 2 years ago, he was put into a program which is designed to help people at risk of being radicalised by violent extremist ideologies. The program is known as countering violent extremism to try to stop people from reaching the point where police have to deal with them as they did in the Bunnings car park. He was being monitored and there were strict rules. He was apparently forced to have a phone without internet access to keep him away from extremist material, and he was visited regularly at his house by officers.
So for two whole years, he was part of this program to de-radicalise him, if you like. But there are reports, Sean, that at one point he tried to blow up a toilet at his school in Perth.
Yeah, look, the program clearly didn't work. There was an incident where he set off an explosive device in the school toilets. Now, really dramatic mobile phone video of that has emerged.
Get away!
And in that video, we can hear a boy yelling, "Get away," as you hear a blast. Nobody was injured in that incident, but parents at Rossmore Senior High had been becoming increasingly concerned about their children's safety and also about what they feared was his influence on other students. They raised red flags with the Education Department, the WA Education Department, and the State Education Minister, and they're now asking if enough was done. The Premier has said police were unable to interfere because the boy hadn't committed any crimes at the time his minister received a letter from the parents.
What the police are doing is undertaking intelligence, contributing to a program to assist people with their extremist views, and where they break the law, then intervening. But someone has to break the law before the police can intervene.
Let's turn now, Sean, to look a bit more at your reporting of the Sydney stabbing, where the teenage boy stabbed an Assyrian bishop while he was giving a sermon. You've done a lot of digging around on this, and I think it will give us a better understanding of what's going on here. You looked at a number of things, including at the offender's online activity, didn't you?
I did. My investigation has uncovered interactions with extremists both online and in Sydney, and we discovered that in the months leading up to the stabbing, he was interacting with extremists online, following extremist accounts. He liked a series of posts published on Instagram, including videos of terrorists like Osama bin Laden encouraging followers to die for the cause. And we discovered that just an hour before the attack at the church, he posted an Instagram story calling on Muslims to open their eyes to so-called disbelievers, and I'm quoting here, attain victory over their enemies. After the stabbing, police seized the boy's phone and discovered he was part of a WhatsApp group called Brotherhood with other teenagers in Sydney who expressed sympathies with the same violent extremist radical cause. And just over a week later, they actually conducted mass raids across Sydney and charged six boys with terrorism and extremism offences.
So, Sean, a number of juveniles have since been charged and they've been appearing in a Sydney children's court, and a few more details have emerged through that process.
Look, some really fascinating and frankly quite alarming allegations have been coming out in court over the past week or so. I should say police said that they cracked down on this group, arrested these boys, because they were allegedly in the early stages of planning another terrorist attack. We've been hearing messages that were allegedly sent between some of the four boys who have been charged with preparing or planning for a terrorist attack. And those messages shared on group chats in encrypted apps speak of a desire to target Jewish people or Assyrian people, speak of hatred for so-called kuffar, non-believers, and a desire to do jihad. So there's a long way to go in that case. These allegations certainly haven't been proven, and the courts have heard it, you know, it could be at least a year or so before any trial begins.
Really concerning. Now, you also, Sean, had an exclusive interview, incredible interview, with his parents for 7:30 on ABC TV. What did they say about their son.
Oh, look, as you can expect, my interview with the boys' parents was a very emotional one for them. You know, they sobbed.
Like, my son, the problem is when he gets angry, he becomes dangerous.
But his parents insist their son is no terrorist.
Police say your son carried out a terrorist attack. Is he a terrorist?
No, no. My son is not a terrorist. He just turned 16. How would be a terrorist? My son have a problem, and only he needs help.
And their account of his life paints a picture of a vulnerable and very violent child with serious anger management issues. And by the age of 13, his parents say he was treated by his first psychologist, who actually recommended a cognitive assessment for autism. And that's one of the factors that extremism experts say, when we've asked them to look at this case, that may have left him vulnerable to radicalisation.
We know those who try to radicalise others, and history would show us this, that they do target vulnerable people and young people. Tell me, Sean, how has the Muslim community been reacting to all of this? I know there is a really deep concern about a rise in Islamophobia.
The attack in Sydney last month, and then again over the weekend in Perth, have triggered deep distress and dismay in the Muslim community, including from community leaders who have a history of working really closely with police but are now speaking out. They're concerned that counter-terrorism and counter-violent extremism measures are too heavily skewed towards harsh law and order measures for teenagers, rather than careful grassroots de-radicalisation approaches. They're asking that police let them in on who they believe in the community has radicalised so they can do work in the community. And they believe that our law and order system isn't taking into account serious suspected mental health and cognitive issues, as in the case of the Wakeley attacker. Now, police, of course, would say that their priority is to protect the community, and there's a careful balance here.
So, Sean, what now? How can we make sure that this sort of radicalisation doesn't take hold any further, and that we don't get to a point where ASIO has to increase the current terrorism threat level, which is at possible at the moment? We obviously really need something to happen so this doesn't get any worse.
That's right. And people working in this space are now asking, have we learnt anything from what was happening with our teenagers being involved in violent extremism back around 10 years ago? There are fears now that since the war in Gaza broke out in particular, with a huge number of civilian deaths causing outrage and upset for many across the world, this has also aggravated terrorist groups. So there's really important and urgent counter-terrorism policing and intelligence work to be done here. But experts in this space and community leaders are saying we need to do more to stop these teenagers from reaching a point where they're wielding a knife. And families like those of the 16-year-old boy in Sydney are saying that far more could be done to deal with the sorts of mental health issues and radicalisation issues that their son faced.
Sean Rubenstein Dunlop is an investigative reporter with the ABC. You can catch his 7:30 report into the background of the Sydney teenager and the full interview with the child's parents on iView. And Sean's investigation is continuing. This episode was produced by Bridget Fitzgerald and Nell Whitehead. Audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Cody. You may have seen that Erin Patterson, the woman charged over the alleged mushroom poisonings of her family members, has formally pleaded not guilty to 3 counts of murder. The Mushroom Case Daily podcast is following developments. Find it on the ABC Listen app. I'm Sam Hawley. Thanks for listening.